Glory to God. Hallelujah. Good to see y'all here today. Y'all. I'm a little bit south here. That's why I kind of picked up that. You know, there's this, I was reading about a farmer who wanted to be a pastor. And so one day he was out in the field and he looked up and he saw the clouds forming up there. And he said, he thought he saw a PC up in the sky. So he's thinking, I think God wants me to preach Christ. So he sold his farm, started a church, and he preached his first sermon. And he was told the testimony about why he started a church and why he's there to the congregation. And so he mentioned again that he saw those clouds, PC, to preach Christ. So he preached his first sermon. And when he got done, one of the people in the church said to another one, "That's the worst sermon I've ever heard in my whole life. That guy is not a good minister in the sense of his preaching." I don't think he saw preach Christ in that PC. I think it said plant corn. There's times when I feel like I should be planting corn. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. We're thankful for every day that you give us on this earth, because you made this day and you told us to be glad in it. And Lord, I lift up the people this morning that we're prayed for, that your healing virtue flow through them. Yes. Let them be encouraged in their hearts that you've not forgotten them. Yes. You hear their cry. You see their need. And we speak against infirmities and sicknesses and diseases. Yes. And ailments and accidents and anything that would create physical problems within us, Father. We take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, those that are watching by Facebook and those that are not here today, there's several, Lord, that couldn't be here today because they have physical ailments going on. And we speak to those ailments right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, to be gone. I speak to vertebrae to be strengthened and muscles and nerves. I speak to every infirmity to be gone from every life in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And Lord, we thank you, for you are the healer. We do not doubt that one bit. You are the healer, and you healed us. Isaiah 53, 5, 1 Peter 2, 24. You sent your word, and you healed us.
Yes.
And I believe it. You're still in the healing business.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, we're in this old fallen world. Help us not to be discouraged, but help us to stand true to you. Because you are working something out in every person's life this morning that is struggling with something. And you're going to bring it to pass for their good and for your glory.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glad to see everybody this morning. It's summertime. Don't forget, you got to come to church on Sundays in the summer too, right? I mean, I come on Sundays. Praise the Lord. How many know that I preach on mercy and grace?
Yes.
Kindness, yes. God's love, his holiness,
yes.
His peace, his joy. How many know that I preach through the 12 years I've been? I preach on those things, don't I?
Yes.
But I'm also a guy that I believe God's called me for this hour and this time to preach on the serious things.
Yes.
Because again, we're in serious times.
Yes.
And we need to hear serious messages, because I know that God already loves you.
Oh, yeah.
I know you know that. And if you don't, it's your own fault, because he tells us right here. He does love us. He cares about us deeply, doesn't he? His thoughts toward us are what? Goodness and mercy. Love and kindness. That's what he thinks toward us. But I don't think the devil wanted me to preach this message this morning. And the sinfulness of sin. He tried to stop me, but I'm here.
There you go.
But I'm here by the grace of God.
Yes.
But we need to hear these things. There's people watching us. I can actually, right, Doug, say all around the world. on social media, as well as around the country that are watching. So I never know where my messages are going. And even if you're here and you say, well, that one really doesn't apply to me, maybe not today, but it will at one point in your life. But pray for those, if you just sense, well, it's really not for me today, then pray for somebody else that they'll be challenged by it and ministered to. Amen?
Amen?
That's how we do it. We're the body of Christ. But the sinfulness of men. I heard one preacher one time said he doesn't like to preach on sin because people got so many problems today, they don't need to come to church and hear about sin. Yeah, we do. Because we're leaky vessels. We get caught up in life. Amen?
Amen.
We get caught up in life. So if you brought your Bible today, how many brought your Bibles today? It's not bad, but it went down to about 50%. It should be up to around 70.
100%.
Yeah, we'll never reach that though. Thanks to cell phones. But anyway, praise the Lord. The only reason I say that, brothers and sisters, it's good to carry this. It's good to carry it. It's a witness. It's a tool that God can use. Just the Holy Spirit, again, like I've said before many times, your neighbor will see you walk out the door. And if you're backing out of your garage, just put it out the window. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. And it says, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that my whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. You know, when I was reading this, it tells me that Jesus is very serious and warning us about sin. And he's emphasizing the terribleness of hell within these two scriptures too. But I believe Jesus takes it so serious, that's pretty dramatic, isn't it? Pluck the eye out, cut the right hand off. That's what God thinks of sin. He hates it because he's a holy God. And he knows the destruction of sin. It can be disappointing to hang out with modern Christians today. I don't know about you, but I've been around several in the last several years, in the last decade even, that people that I thought were on fire for God were fronts for who they really weren't.
Yeah.
And you could tell it by their language, by their lifestyle, and the things they do and don't do, and the things they don't say and do say. And you're almost embarrassed to say you're a Christian. And when we act like that, it makes our job harder to witness to somebody else. Because they put us all in the same category. That we're all alike. We're Christians. We all do the same thing. We're all hypocrites. But we've got to remember that God hates sin. And Christians need to be taught as well as the world. For all the emphasis on love and grace and happiness, and many seem to have forgotten that sin is real and it's destroying lives here and now and in eternity. It is destroying lives. There's people, their lives are totally being taken apart. And that's Satan's goal, is to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants to steal everything from you that he possibly can, and he will want to kill you on this earth, but he wants to destroy you permanently in an eternal hell. That's his goal for you and I. And that's why Jesus wants us to take sin seriously. And it can be twofold, too. When you and I take it seriously, we're going to be more inclined to want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone else. Amen? And warn them. We would want to do that. If we truly love Jesus Christ, we want to warn others about the love of God and about sin, how it destroys a person. You look on social media today, young people, even middle-aged people, and even senior citizens. I was watching one the other day. They get foul language, and they say they're Christians, and there's they see no wrong. Well, they know it's wrong, but they say they see no wrong with abortion, with homosexuality, transgenderism, any of these other things. There's nothing wrong with it. Why do you think in California now you can steal up to $900 and not go to jail for it? We're in serious times, people. And now we have them trying to steal our children, and it's destroying young children. Abortion is destroying young babies. Thank God again for the Supreme Court overturning it. Thank God that there are some states, I think 28 states, that are preventing it from happening. Praise the Lord for that. And hopefully that will continue to grow should Jesus tarry. Sin doesn't change because our culture changes. Did you know that? It's really sad in a Christian home, and I'm going to say Christian, not this church now. Always remember that. I'm talking general because we got an audience out there too. But it's really sad that when certain things in a family happens, like homosexuality, that the family members will compromise the Word of God now in order to appease and to make sure they don't offend their loved one rather than stand for what they believe. And we need to stand for what God believes and is. He's holy and He's righteous. And we can't compromise that. Sin is destroying our loved ones. I've got family members where I know sin is destroying their lives. Sin is. We should hate sin. We should run from sin whenever it's confronted, we're tempted with it in any way. Sin doesn't change because our friends do it or because we struggle with it. It doesn't change because of that. You ever hear the phrase, everyone's doing it? Not everyone's doing it. That's a lie out of the pits of hell. And we need to remember that. Sin is always sin, and it's really that simple. Sin is sin. Having sex before marriage is a sin. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
Having sex with a person other than your spouse is a sin.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
A homosexual relationship is a sin.
Amen. That's right.
Looking at porn or having a lustful thought is a sin.
That's right.
Getting drunk is a sin.
Right.
Lying is still a sin.
Yes.
Stealing is still a sin.
Amen.
Gossiping is still a sin.
Yes, indeed.
I could keep going on, couldn't I? I'm not going to. You get the drift. You get the drift. If we modern Christians truly care about our neighbors and about our friends and our families, we will start speaking up with truth on our lips. We'll start telling and being honest with them. We'll be seriously, won't we? Don't you agree we should do that? If you have family members or friends or neighbors and they're living in sin or saying and doing things they shouldn't be that can destroy their soul, then you and I need to open our lips and tell them.
Yes.
And we can be kind about it.
Yes.
And we can be loving about it, but we need to tell them. It's not loving to withhold it. We need to tell them that sin is destroying their life. That's what happened to me when I got witnessed to. I didn't like it at first. I got mad. I told the guy that was sharing it with him, I was going to tear his head off, didn't I?
Yes.
If he came into work. I didn't want somebody telling me I was a sinner and that I wasn't going to heaven. But the man did it because he loved me enough as a human being to share the gospel with me, as many of you in here, I'm sure, too. But we need to speak on this subject. We will recognize that grace can only be explained alongside a realization of sin. That's the only way you can explain grace. God's grace and mercy. For God so loved the world, He sent His only Son. Why? To save us from our sins.
Yes.
What did He save us from?
Sin.
What did He save us from?
Sin.
My wife says I need a hearing aid. What did He save us from?
Sin.
Yes. That's when He came to earth, to die on a cross to save us from our sins. And we need to remember that. And today in this modern Christianity world, we've got too many of our brothers and sisters living in sin.
Yes. Yeah.
And justifying it.
Mm-hmm.
When you got to fight with somebody, or you don't fight with them or argue with, when you got to stand for your faith, to your brother or sister in Christ, that's pretty serious. When I got to stand there and say why Jesus made water into wine, and two brothers in Christ want to give me grief beyond my wildest dreams and are angry at me because I told them it wasn't fermented wine. And they get angry. They don't want to talk to you anymore. And they don't understand that drunkenness, drunkards will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And by the way, drunkenness is not a disease. It's a choice that somebody made and fell into it. Drunkenness will cause diseases, but drunkenness is a sin that will damn a soul to eternal hell. And that's why I get really frustrated with my brothers and sisters in Christ who will try to justify worldly things like that when they know very well that Jesus would not make six big barrels of wine to get a whole bunch of people drunk at a wedding. It ain't going to happen. That'd be contrary to why he came to earth. That was fresh grape juice, people, whether you believe it or not, from the vine. That's why they liked it. They said, boy, you serve the best last. Praise the Lord. That's only one item. But I think of other things I had to stand there and take the word of God and say to another brother and sister in Christ. It's really sad when you got to take the word of God and express it and explain it to brothers and sisters in Christ. We got preachers standing behind pulpits now using curse words and justifying it to this. That's the most dangerous thing in the world they can do. Don't ever take, if you have a sin in your life and you know it's a sin, you know it's a sin. Don't use this to justify it because it will be your judgment.
Amen.
Be honest with God. Repent. Get rid of it out of your life. It'll destroy you eternally.
Right.
But don't ever use the word of God to justify a sinful lifestyle. It's not a very healthy thing to do. Praise the Lord. You still with me now?
Yeah.
See, when we dumb down sin, pretending it's just another valid choice, we lead those we love down a dangerous path of destruction.
Right.
When we dumb it down. You don't dumb it down. You be honest with people. Honest with yourself. Amen?
Amen?
You need to be honest with yourself and say, what I am doing, literally, I believe in my heart's a sin. Why I know that? Because you know you're convicted many times of certain things you do. Maybe it is gossip. Maybe it is hate. Maybe it is complaining and murmuring constantly, never seeing any good in anything. That's a sin too. God hates that. He says in his word, I hate it. My people, they complain and they murmur. I like what we did this morning when we worshiped him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of our trial, he's still working.
Yes.
Even when I'm sick and I'm ailing, I can worship him.
Yes.
Even when the devil is against me and my family and my job, my finance, whatever it is, I can worship him.
Yes.
Because how many know it doesn't help to complain and murmur? It doesn't do a lick of good. Nothing. But it sure does a lot of good when you come before the Father and say, God, I've got this need. And I worship you.
Amen.
And I thank you for intervening in my life in this sense. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 33:9 says, nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy own soul. Thou hast delivered thy soul. Jesus takes this serious. That's out of the Old Testament. One well-known preacher with the last name Stanley, the younger one, says this is irrelevant, the Old Testament. No, it's not. If we want Christ for those we love, we must first help them see sin for what it truly is. You notice when you see the beer advertisements, the liquor advertisements, and the cigarette advertisements and stuff, you notice when you see them, they're all beautiful people, all tan and nice on boats and whatever else, and they're just living the life. And, you know, sin's fun for a season.
Yeah.
It's fun. There's no denying it. I used to be a sinner. I practiced it. I lived it. It's fun, but it's only for a season. It may shorten my life, too, and thank God it didn't. But all those advertised people, they want us to, they draw us into this thinking that's an okay thing. But see, is what they need to do, and I think they've been starting to do some of it now, where they show the woman there where she's got a big hole in her throat from the cigarette cancer eating her lungs out and everything, and she and it aged her. She's only in her 50s, looks like she's in her 80s. Because that's what sin does. It destroys us. Booze, oh, it's so great. It's so great to have that whiskey, and they think they're so righteous when they put on their little bottles. Don't overdrink or whatever it says on there. But they don't show the families who lost their loved ones because of drunk drivers.
Right.
Or themselves, or their homes were destroyed. Their marriages were taken away because of drinking. They don't show us those things. Satan doesn't want us to know that. He wants us to see the beauty of something that isn't even there. But sin is destructive, and it destroys us inside and out many times. And we need to be aware of that. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." If a brother or sister approaches you and they know that you're living in a way they don't, if they approach you in Christian love and say, "You shouldn't be doing that," you're either going to be offended and leave the church, or never talk to that person again and stay in the church and get a bitter root, which is another sin. Or you're going to say, "Thank you. Thank you for coming to me and telling me and warning me. I needed to hear that." That's what we need to do. You need to be willing to tell the truth in love to someone in the church, I'm talking right now, if you know they're living in sin. It's important to do that. Whatever became a sin. It's not that sin has disappeared or that we no longer feel guilty. Most people do have a sense of their own guilt. They feel guilty not because someone tells them they're guilty, because they truly know they're guilty. Don't you? Don't you know? I do. When I was a sinner, I knew I was sinning. I was guilty. And it made me mad when somebody pointed out. But I was guilty. I knew it. They didn't even have to tell me. We're guilty because we've done wrong, and guilt is not some dysfunctional feeling that we have that we should not be having. Guilt is a warning that tells us we violated God's moral code in some way. That's what it is. We're all guilty, aren't we? Do you agree with that? We're all guilty. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount has been pointing out that not only is the sinful deed wrong, but also the sinful desire. So it should be clear that we have all failed to meet the standard. We all have. How many?
All.
We all have. Nobody's exempt. No self-righteousness in anybody. Nobody in here can raise their hand and said, "Not me." There's nobody that can do that. If you do, you're a liar. Sin, however, is largely ignored as a moral evil in our day. We do not like to use the term at all. That's why we downplay sin. We downplay it. We say that we have faults. We're only human. You ever hear that one? We're only human. Shortcomings. That's my shortcoming. That's my shortcoming. That's just the way I am. It's one of my hang-ups. Huh? It's one of my hang-ups. It's one of my problems. I got to deal with it. It's my problem. Mistakes. I made a mistake. I made a bad mistake. Slip ups. I slip up all the time. I slip up all the time. Or that we are dysfunctional or we're sick. That's why I do these things. We simply don't like to use the word sin. We don't want to be a sinner. We don't want to be a sinner. But you know, people will use every other thing, even in churches today, even if the pastor preaching from service, and not all churches, but a lot of them, they say mistakes, or they use some of these terms right now to make people feel more comfortable. But I tell you what, if he's a man of God, and he's preaching the truth of the Word of God, he looks at his congregation and he says, "If there be any in here and you're living in sin, you need to repent."
Right.
He needs to be bold as a lion and do it. Even if the whole congregation gets out and walks out the back door, he can stand before God and say, "I told him the truth." Amen?
Amen. Amen.
That's what we do.
That's right.
It's sin. If you know it's sin, then it's up to you and I. If I know it's sin, I need to get it out of my life because it's going to destroy me. I may get away with it for a while, but the Bible says, be sure your sin shall find you out. Some way, somehow, it's going to find you out. And look at what we're seeing even on television today. People have murdered people decades ago are getting found out now because of DNA testing. They thought they got away with it. I just saw one the other day, a 101-year-old World War II guy, a Nazi character that killed Jews just recently. They just found him out. He was living amongst them. He's got to go to jail at 101 years old. He's got a short term. But he had to go to jail. And unless he repents, he'll go into eternity with all those murders upon his life. We simply don't like the word sin. Why is this the case? And there are probably many reasons for it. One that comes to my mind is that sin has religious overtones. It really does. Normally when we think of sin, we also think of God, don't you? If somebody said you sin, you think of God.
Yeah.
That's why they hate God. They don't want God anywhere because God, when just a mention of it will bring conviction into their hearts and into their lives that they know they're not where they belong. And the passion of hate, if you watch lately, that they have for the Lord Jesus Christ on social media is incredible.
Yes.
They become apostate in their thinking. After all, isn't sin breaking the law of God, really? And if we break the law of God, do we have to answer to that God for the breaking of the law?
Yes.
We will one day, won't we? If we break God's law in any way, we will have to answer to Him. See, Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He came to what?
Fulfill it.
He came to fulfill the law.
Right.
Many people don't like to think of that possibility, because it's simply easier to talk about a failure than a sin. We can talk about failure. I failed. But no, we need to confess and say, I've sinned. I've sinned. Another reason is that our culture calling a thing a sin is taking matters a little too far. What is true yesterday may not be true today or tomorrow. You see, if you do away with God, truth and morality becomes what the culture currently says it is, since there's no absolute standard by which things should be judged. That's why there's a desperate attempt to do away with God. That's what our society is doing now. They're working to even the younger generations coming up that they want to do away with God. They want us to think the government's God. They want us to think leaders and other things are God. Science is God. Everything's God, but the God of the universe. Therefore, to call faults, failures, mistakes, slip-ups, sin is just too ridiculous in this world we live in. That's what they want us to think. Nobody cares. Yeah, they do. God does. There's one problem with this kind of thinking. It's wrong, and it's stinking thinking, because it'll destroy us for eternity. There is a God, and He takes sin quite seriously. Did you hear that? God takes it seriously. If I got sin in my life, and God's still working on me too, I don't think I've arrived. I really don't. I got to be careful and guard my heart that I do not fall into sin tomorrow.
That's right.
Or even this afternoon. By what I think, what I do, what I don't do, what I don't say, whatever the case may be. My actions, my lack of actions. I got to be careful to guard my heart that I keep it for the Lord. Because He knows sin will eventually destroy me. How many people, Christian families, have been totally destroyed and walk away from God because of sin? Not because of bad choices, not because of this or that, because of sin. Sin is a destructive force. There is a God, again, and he takes it very seriously. The Bible is clear when it calls sin a violation of God's law. It is also clear when it declares that we have all committed sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many sinned?
All.
How many?
All.
All. We need to remember that, don't we? That's an important message. When you witness to someone too, you always say, all, that means me. Don't ever put yourself above a sinner. We were just like them, and now we want to warn them. And that's when I ever share the gospel with someone, I walk up and I say, I'm no better than you are.
That's right.
No better. When I'm going to tell you something right now, and when I do, I want you to know that I am no better than you. But you ought not be doing this, because it's against God's law.
Right.
See, when I put myself with them, they're going to listen a lot better. But if I come as I'm a Christian. You're going to hell if you do that. That's not witnessing. That's being stupid.
Exactly.
But when you come up to someone with a humble heart and say, I was a sinner once. Would you like to know why I'm not the same as I used to be? Yeah, go ahead, tell me. You got them. Tell them what Jesus did for you.
Amen.
He delivered you from sin. He forgave you of sin. And we need to think about that. Even if you've only committed one sin a day for an average lifetime, listen to this. If you've committed only one sin as an average for a lifetime, you have committed over 70,000 sins on your record. You didn't know you were a sinner, did you? 70,000. You have over 70,000 sins on your record if you just do one sin a day. And many times we do. Some we know about and some we don't. It can be a thought, it can be an action, it can be a statement, it can be a deed, it can be whatever. But most of us, a lot of times, will sin at least once a day. Not that we want to, praise the Lord, with God's help, we don't want to. But we're in a sinful world. But 70,000 sins on your record, and most of us manage to commit a few more than that a day. Whew. So if you went into court of law as a multiple offender with over 70,000 crimes for which you are guilty as charged, do you suppose you would be in a little bit of trouble? With 70,000 crimes on your record? And most of us do have that or more. So in the text before us, Jesus gives us a powerful and radical evaluation of sin. From even a casual reading in Matthew 5, 29 and 30, it says there can be no doubt that Jesus took sin seriously. Think about this. There should be no doubt in your mind that Jesus takes sin very seriously. Why? Psalms 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Did you hear that? His word is settled in heaven. This is settled in heaven. Jesus did not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And what he said was sin back in Genesis is sin in Revelation and for all eternity. His words tells us what sin will be for all eternity. It's established in here. No matter what the culture or another Christian preacher or missionary or whomever or friend tells you, if it's contrary to this, they're liars. God's word doesn't change. God's attitude doesn't change because we're in a modern society now. We're too. So God changes. No, God never changes. He says, I do not change. You know why? Because he's holy. He's holy. He's righteous. He's pure. I thank God he doesn't change. Psalms 33:11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The thoughts of his heart is to all generations.
Yes.
Matthew 5:18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it be fulfilled. God's not going to change for society.
Right.
Or for you because you cry too hard or I cry too hard. He's the same. His word is his standard. And that's why I get so amazed when I hear brothers or sisters or preachers try to justify things that are knowing sin in their lives when God states that it is. We try to justify things in our habits in our life that destroy others. We do things. We sin. We sin when we make others stumble. That's a sin. It needs to be eradicated from our life. It needs to be renounced. For him to advocate the tearing out of eyes and the cutting off of our limbs should not only get our attention, but should also cause us to be alarmed at how casually we take sin. Just think, God says, if this hand sins in any way, any manner, God says, chop it off. It's better to chop it off and to go into eternity whole and not be cast into hell. If I got an eye and I'm looking with a sinful eye for whatever sinful reason, Jesus says, pluck it out. Tear it out of your head. That's how serious Jesus said. You say, well, I don't like a sermon like this. Well, Jesus did. He wanted to warn his creation that if you maintain sin in your life in any capacity, it's going to destroy you. And it's better to get rid of the arm, the leg, the hand, the eye, whatever that's making you sin. It's better to cut them off and go through life maimed rather than to enter hell for all eternity. Jesus took it so seriously. For him to advocate the tearing out of eyes and the cutting off hands, we got to know that he was serious. Do you take sin seriously, or do you seriously sin? Don't raise hands. I will pray for you if you do, but don't raise hands. We will do one or the other, but Jesus' message should be clear. We must deal seriously with sin because sin is a serious business. It's a very serious business. How you deal with sin should be extremely important to you because it can destroy you. And you may say, well, it's just a little thing. God understands. God only understands his word. We can't say God understands sin, even though he may. He doesn't condone it. Not even what we think are like this. It's just a little white lie. There's no little white lie. Lie is a sin. If you are having a habitual habit of lying, little white lies, renounce it. Repent of it. Turn away from it. It will destroy you in the end. In fact, you may be being destroyed. Some of you, even in this church here, even there may be somebody sitting here at the sound of my voice right now that sin is destroying you right now. And you're the only one that knows. But if you know there's sin in your life, it's destroying you. Little bit at a time. Satan's subtle. He knows. And we won't see the payback until the end. Some you see it up front, but many times many people live in sin throughout their life and they find out the wages of sin is death. And we need to deal. That's why when we take communion, I say to you, examine your heart. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Is there something that I need to turn away from and I need your help to do it, Lord? Because see, God said he'd give us help when he died on the cross. We could run to the cross. He gives us that strength through his Holy Spirit. Now, I want to ask you again, are you still with me yet? Because I'm getting close to done. But we'll do one or another, but Jesus' message should be clear. We must deal seriously with sin because sin, again, is a serious business. In fact, you may be, like I said, ask yourself. I'm so serious, I need to keep saying it. Ask yourself, is there something in your life? Is there something in my life I need the Lord to speak to me about? I told you the story about the pastor when my wife and I got saved, and he asked God to show him his heart. And we thought he's a great preacher. We thought he's a great preacher. Forgive me if you see my little tag coming off here. I had surgery. If you see the flag, it's not saying you can go now. But this pastor God showed him his heart, and he began to weep when he told the congregation. He said, my heart was so evil, and I didn't think it was. But there's things in me that I was holding in that were sin. And it took the Holy Spirit to show me, and he had to repent. And then he asked God to help him and to help him guard his heart. So how do you view sin? How do you deal with sin in your life? You better deal with it or God's going to deal with it.
Great.
Amen? I just soon deal with it myself.
Yeah.
I just soon deal with it myself. And I say that for your own good. As we examine the text before us, Matthew, we're going to find out that Jesus is radically clear in his prescription for dealing with sin. I'm going to hold this up. Forgive me, but I'm going to hold this on.
Okay.
I don't want you to think I'm falling asleep. Then I'm so relaxed and I'm so confident that I can do this. I'm going to hold this on. I'm in this whole fallen world right along with you two. Things happen. But let's look at several responses to his word which will enable us to take sin seriously. The definition of sin. If you would like to take sin seriously, you must know the biblical definition of sin. Many Christians probably associate sin with the commission of various wrong deeds. And there's no doubt that these are sins. Sins are violations of the law of God, but sin is more even than that. Sin is that which is contrary to God. Sin is that which stands against God. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Every time we sin, we're standing against God. Sins are symptoms of the heart and why we commit acts of sin. 1 John 3:15 says, whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. Isn't that something? That's a sin. Murder is a sin, but even the hate in the heart. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. It's a thought. Even the thought becomes a sin when there's hate in there. Again, Jesus made it clear about adultery. For instance, it is committed indeed because of the desire of the heart. Matthew chapter 5, 27 and 28. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, by the way, those people of old time, they're so old fashioned. Not Jesus. He says, ye have heard that it was said of them in old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her commits adultery with her already in his heart. Just think, just in the intent of the heart. It's a sin. That's why young girls today in schools and middle-aged women and stuff, especially when they're coming to church, dress up. Because you're creating a man to sin. And you say, well, the man doesn't have to look. Uh-huh. Guys need to do things right, too. Don't make your brother stumble. Why? It's because our hearts have become corrupt. That's why we commit sin. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? You ever hear somebody say, I would never do that. And many times they end up doing worse. They didn't realize their heart is so desperately wicked. That's why you and I, it's by the grace of God that I'm not a murderer. Is it by the grace of God that I don't do other things, and with his help I never will. But I can never say I never will. Because God knows how desperately wicked this heart is. Even though I'm saved by grace and I'm washed in the blood, these old fallen world hearts still have that corruption in them. That's why we needed Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Boy, doesn't that guy get serious? See, we come into the world already corrupted, and we act out this corruption by committing acts to violate the law of God. We commit acts of sin because we are sinful by nature, and we do it by our own personal choice. What's the guy's name a long time ago? The devil made me do it?
Yeah.
You remember him?
Yeah.
He used to be on TV. He always say, the devil made me do it.
Flip Wilson.
Flip Wilson.
Yeah.
Mr. Flip Wilson, the devil didn't make you do it. Every sin that you and I commit, we do it because we chose to do it. It's good to be honest, right?
Yes, right.
No sense lying to you, because then I'd be a liar and I'd be sinning standing here. The Bible speaks of people who have not come to Christ as slaves to sin. That's what sin does. We literally become a slave to it. And they don't even realize it. Young people especially, they think they can go, now when I get out on my own, I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. I can drink, I can carouse, I can be corrupt, I can do anything. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. But you know something? When they fall into it, they become a slave. You ever see prostitutes on a real live prostitutes? I have, especially overseas.
Yeah.
Once beautiful women, now look, you see the disgust upon their face, the wrinkles, you see the evil that's come upon them, because that's how they're living their life. It's destroying them, they don't even know it. Drug abusers. Drunkards. You can see it on them. Riotous living. It's there. It's fun for a season, but it's going to catch up. And whether as an unbeliever or a believer, we violate the law of God. Sin is still sin and is taken very seriously by God. But let me ask you again, third time. Do you take sin seriously or do you sin seriously? Do you understand that to violate the law of God is a sin against His holiness? That scares me every time I've sinned. When David sinned with Bathsheba, look what he said in Psalms 51:4. He said, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Every time you and I sin as His creation, we're doing it against the very one who loved us and died for us. Sad, isn't it, that we do that? But we do. But do you understand that it's not simply a mistake? It's a violation of divine righteousness. That's what it is. Do you understand that God calls it evil? God calls sin evil. Since sin is contrary to His very nature, do you understand that God hates sin? It's contrary to who He is. That's why sin will not enter heaven. That's why people who once saved, always saved, will live a sinful lifestyle and profess His name and think they're going to fly right into heaven and live with Jesus for eternity. Because I gave my life to Jesus. Sin will not enter heaven. It needs to be repented of and turned from. Amen?
Amen.
You're getting too quiet on me. You're getting too Lutheran on me. I'll throw in Catholics too, just so Lutherans feel better.
Okay.
The danger of sin. God hates sin because sin is hateful. I'm being a little bit repetitious today so that the Holy Spirit can keep working on all of us.
Very good.
I'm talking to me too. If you're watching on camera, me too. Sin corrupts, sin destroys, and if you would take sin seriously, you must comprehend that the true danger of sin. Is sin dangerous?
Yes.
Yes.
Can it destroy you?
Yes.
Well, according to Jesus, it is dangerous enough to cause you to a person to be thrown into eternal hell. That's how serious it is to Jesus. That sin, not someone over there that sins worse than you do, or someone over there because they're really a horrible sinner. Hitler's really a bad guy. That's the guy that's going to end up in hell. The Bible says all sinners.
Right.
All sinners will be thrown in the lake of fire. All sinners, unless they're repented of. If that is the consequence of sin, then Jesus must think sin is pretty serious. He knows it's destroying you and I. That's why He came to earth. I got to bring you back there because that's where it all ends up at the cross.
Amen.
That's where it all ends up at.
Yeah.
Sin, you see, not only produces guilt, but it also pollutes us. It causes us to be morally unrighteous and guilty before God. And it's so heart-rending to me when I see a brother or sister in Christ living an ungodly, sinful lifestyle. And then I have to question, did they really make Jesus Christ Lord of their life? It's not me to check their heart. That's only God can do that. But it makes me, you know, look at their fruit. Jesus said you can tell them by their fruit. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there are none righteous, no, not one. None of us in here are righteous. None of us. None of us. We will have to account for our violation and God's moral law, and the Bible teaches that. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's the wages. If you and I live a sin, even if it's one sin, it's not so bad. I don't read that in here. Sin, one sin will destroy your soul if not repented of. One sin. No matter if it's that little white lie, you carry that all your life and you go around telling little white lies wherever you go. And that's the only thing you can think of as sin in your life. It will send you into an eternal hell. It needs to be repented of. That's serious, isn't it? The reason I want to preach is because we're living and seeing sin openly now. The devil's flaunting it in our face, stealing our young people, stealing idiots that don't have any brains that are in their 20s and 30s and 40s that are falling into it. And they're trying to make us think it's okay. And it's destroying their lives and it's destroying people in churches' lives. This death is an eternal death, by the way. It's an eternal condemnation referred to as hell. Whether we want to hear that word or not, it's the truth. Hell is the destination of a sinner. Those that practice it. Sin is deceptive. It's subtle. It perverts our very nature of who we are. And many times you can see sin on people. Did you know that? Why would our hand cause us to stumble or our eye cause us to sin if sin is not corrupted us? What should be a good thing to us? Sin left unchecked will destroy you from the inside out.
That's true.
It works its way out. Eventually, you can see a person that's been caught up in a slave to sin. It eventually comes out. They start out beautiful. Young men and young women, and they start out beautiful, and they get caught up in the sin of homosexuality. Look what happens to them as they get older. It comes from the inside and comes out. Any kind of sin. Sin left unchecked. God hates sin because sin destroys the people he loves. There I'm preaching it. Good news. Jesus loves you.
Yes.
Sin is destroying the very people that Jesus came to die for, and he loves us, and that's why he's warning us.
Yes.
And this is one reason why God takes sin seriously. How about you? Do you take sin seriously, or do you seriously sin? If you do not see the danger of sin, you will never take sin seriously.
Right.
You never will. That's why I get a passion. I love to witness. Because I know every person I come across of that I'm able to witness to will end up in eternal hell unless they get saved. And I love to share the gospel. Because he saved me from an eternal hell.
Yes.
Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. How a Christian can involve himself within sin just to be approved or liked or whatever. Jesus said they hated me, they're going to hate you. The reason they do, because we are corrupt. And we don't like to have Jesus come around telling us what we can do or we can't do. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it loud, wake some of you up here. Because we need to be aware of what's happening right before our faces in the hour that we're living. Jesus may come before we get out of service, or it may be 100 years. I don't know. But we need to be prepared now or before we die.
Amen.
And we need to warn those. The destruction of sin. Let me say this to you today. If you would take sin seriously, you must be committed to the destruction of sin within your own life. Amen? You want to get it out of your own life. In other words, destroy sin before it destroys you. And you know. It sounds extreme. Well, it is extreme, actually. It sounds extreme. It's like a cancer. It's like cancer. How many know about cancer?
Yeah.
It's like cancer. Sin is so vile and dangerous that we must go after it with a vengeance.
Yeah.
I had my doctor go after cancer with a vengeance. If I don't, it'll destroy me. This actually turned out to be a good... And I didn't pay anything for it here. But that's what that is. That's what you see me doing this, is because that C word, if I didn't have a doctor take care of it, it'll destroy me eventually. And that's what sin does. It starts out as something very small, and you don't even sense it's sin because you want to do it so that to fulfill the pleasure, the lust in your life. And it's there, and you don't think it's sin at the time, because how can it be so wrong? You ever hear that from, how can it be so wrong when it's love? Actually, you got to get that word love up with lust. Some of you say, boy, he's an old-time preacher. It should be obvious that Jesus, while speaking in radical terms, was not simply prescribing the amputation of body parts in order to deal with sin. In that day, the right eye and the right hand were considered to be extremely valuable. A lot of things were done with the eye and with the hand. It should be obvious that if you pulled out your right eye, you'd still have your left eye. Amen? And what the right eye saw, the left eye saw also. Amen?
Yeah.
If you cut off your right hand, you should still have your left hand.
Right.
No, left. What the right hand did, the left hand could do. Right? No, left. Get those brains, those juices in the brain going here. See, deal radically with sin. Deal radically with what causes you to sin. Do not make excuses for your sin. And the scripture is clear in how we can deal with sin too. Be serious about it. If you know there's something in your life, and I know there's something in my life, whether it be small or big in my thinking, I know it's there. I need to say, God, help me to deal with it and get it under the blood.
Yes.
Romans 3:13-14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. When you're walking in Jesus, it's going to be hard to fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I've got a sinful thought in my mind, I speak the blood of Jesus. The enemy, this is the place where he attacks. If there's things that come up in the old mind, I start speaking the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus cleanses. And I tell you, it's hard to think thoughts like that when you've got the blood of Jesus coming off your lips and into your ears and into your heart. Holy Spirit, work within me.
Yeah.
Again, it says in Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. There's help right there.
Yeah.
How do we get that help? We get it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And people, the hour we're living in today, you and I need this. We need to hear it. Our families need to hear it. Our loved ones need to hear it. Our neighbors need to hear it. Our coworkers need to hear it. Our young people. Our little children need to hear it.
Yes.
We must take whatever steps are necessary to avoid sin. That doesn't mean that we will be perfect, and no one is. Amen?
Yes.
No one is. But imperfection is not our standard. Our standard is Jesus Christ. Would Jesus sin? No, he never did. Would he do what I'm thinking about doing? Would he think what I'm thinking? No. He's our standard, not the culture, not the world. It's Jesus Christ. He's our standard. Let me ask you again. Do you take sin seriously, or do you sin seriously? What are your pet sins? What are the sins that you find yourself committing over and over? Anger? Anger is a sin. It's murder. if it turns into hatred. Selfishness, greed, lying, stealing, gossiping, backbiting, cheating. I could go on again. They're never ending in this old corrupt world. But if some of these common ones here that we hold on to, we need to renounce them. We may think, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Did you know sister, brother, or sister so-and-so, da-da-da-da-da, or brother so-and-so, da-da-da-da-da-da-da? That's gossiping. It's a sin. It destroys. Destroys a person's character, reputation, and if my tongue's doing it, it's a sin, needs to be repented of.
Yes.
Some of you today need to deal with those sins before you do anything else. And when I say you, I mean me too. I got to think about these things. I tell you, it's tough doing some of these messages, putting them together. The scriptural method for dealing with our sins is to repent. Did you know that? Turn away from. Turn away from. That means that we must confess our sins to God, commit ourselves to turn away from those sins, and if you would take sin seriously, you must repent before God. Are you willing today, right now, to humble yourself before God and turn away from your sin? Are you? If you are, God will give you the power to forsake it through His Holy Spirit. And you know, the most exciting thing is when you do that, He said, I am faithful and just to forgive.
Yes.
If you mean it in your heart, He will literally, just what? I wish I could emphasize with brilliant words on how loving Jesus is. That He would even be willing to do that. Because what happens when somebody sins against us? Va 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 da da moon, Alice. Is there any Alice in here? I didn't mean that. You gotta be careful nowadays. If you are, God will give you the power. He will give the power to avoid sin. He will give you the strength to restrain your desires and to avoid feeding the flesh. He will help you. The Holy Spirit does it. He does it many times. He'll come in and gently speak to your heart when you're tempted to go sin somewhere, do things, or look at things, or whatever. The Holy Spirit will be a gentleman and will bring conviction. And He'll give you the help and say, don't do that. Not if you do that, I'm going to kill you. He doesn't say that. He said, don't do that. It'll destroy you. We got that today. If you're born again, blood-bought Christian, you've got that power living in you to forsake. That's why there will be no excuses in heaven for sin whatsoever. Because Jesus said, I've given you the power to become the sons of men. And that includes women, by the way. That's mankind talking. Finally, in closing, let me say that if you are seriously struggling with sin today, you may be in one of two conditions. You may be a Christian who has made the choice to disobey God to the extent that it has become a habit. If that is your situation, you need to humbly come before Him and repent. The other condition which may describe you is that you may be someone who has never cast your life upon Jesus' feet. You've never come to Him. You're not a Christian. You've never been born again by the power of the Spirit. So in conclusion, you may have prayed before, you may have even joined the church, but you have never accepted Christ and committed yourself completely to Him. If that describes you, then your only hope for deliverance from the power and penalty of sin is to cast yourself completely at the feet of Jesus and repent. Amen?
Amen.
To become a Christian. He owes you nothing. Jesus owes you and I nothing. You deserve hell. I deserve hell. Amen?
Amen.
Every person does in this world that ever has been and ever will be deserves hell. Your only hope is to come to Him. He is the only one who can save you. He's the only one who can deliver you from the power of sin, Jesus Christ. You are guilty. He can free you of guilt because He's able to forgive you of your sin. He can free us of guilt. Satan wants us to cover sin up that no one find out about it, and we become bondage to it, in bondage, afraid somebody's going to hear, somebody's going to see, somebody's going to turn you in, and you're running in fear. Fear has torment, and the devil knows it. but it's so free. I remember when I gave my life to Jesus. He changed me. He washed away my sins on the cross. He took them and he said, I'll take them from you and cast them in the sea of forgetfulness. Never to remember them again. And there may be people point a finger at me and say, oh, you dirty so-and-so. And I can look at them and say, I have nothing to fear. I'm clean because I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I ask him to forgive me. I'm clean. You can be too. Amen. That's the love of the Father. He hates sin so bad, people, and we're seeing people being destroyed by it and people sitting in mega churches living in sin. I don't even want to tell you about a church I just found out about today, and I saw it, what they do in that church in the name of Christ. It would make you fall on the floor. But there's evil being done all around, people living in sin. It's crept into churches so deep, and it's destroying souls. And that's why I felt in my heart, I got to speak on sin. Psalms 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth him out of the hand of the wicked. You and I need to learn to hate sin. Amen? We've got to hate it like God hates it and see the destructive force. Many of you sitting there, your lives have been destroyed to an extent. And many of you have seen people in your lives where their lives have been totally destroyed. And some of you have seen lives that have been annihilated off this earth because of sin. Don't you hate sin?
Yes.
Some of you have loved ones you'll never see on this side of heaven and maybe never see them again eternally if they lost their lives living in sin. 1 John 1:7 says, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with him and another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from some of our sins. Just want to see if you're awake. All of our sin. All of it. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. You want to walk in daily righteousness? You want to walk in daily righteousness? You need to be reading this. This is your answer. This is your hope. Because when you take this and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he washes you. He washes your mind. He washes your spirit. And you're able to walk away from sin because you get it in here. Who cares if somebody calls you a Bible thumper? Guess what? I'm a Bible thumper. I'll thump all day in front of somebody with the Bible. I'm not ashamed of the Word of God, for it is the power of God on the salvation. But this is what washes me. There's times when I sin and I didn't realize it, and I'll get in the Word and I'll read something, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, that was you today. That was you. And I say, God, forgive me. And so it washes me because the blood's there, the blood of Jesus, and it washes me. How many in here, let's all stand. How many in here this morning would say, I want to be washed daily in the Word? Huh? I'm with you. I'm no better than anyone sitting in these chairs. But people, you and I have got a mission that God's called us to go tell somebody the love of Jesus Christ. And we need to warn them in their sin if they are. And we can do that in a loving manner without condemning, without judging. We can say, you need to repent of it. And if they get angry, let them get angry. I understand that. I got angry. That's what sinners do. Sinners sin really well. I was good at it when I was a sinner. But I tell you what, when I gave my life to Jesus, I'm still excited about Jesus after 44 years, whatever it is now. I'm excited about him. He's helped me get this far. I've needed him all the way. But he hasn't quit washing me. He's still doing it as I get into the Word of God. and I read it and I study it. He washes me in areas of my life to help me to be more like Him. He's preparing me for that great day when we get to stand with Him in heaven. Isn't that going to be a great day when we as brothers and sisters in Christ can stand before a holy, righteous God? If you got some loved ones and you haven't witnessed to them, you haven't shared to God, you haven't warned them because you're afraid to get mad, just do it in a very loving, simple manner and tell them, please repent of that thing. And if they blow their top, let them blow it. That's the Holy Spirit convicting them because they know they're wrong. And they say, I'll never speak to you again. Maybe not, or maybe they will. But I tell you, it's better to be obedient to what this says than anything else. That's why I got in trouble with all my loved ones when I got born again. I was a 21-year-old radical, wasn't I, Ruth? I told everybody. I told my family, and I had family members that got mad at me, reject me. Hey, I'm still living for Jesus, and some of them are living for Jesus now. Some still aren't. But when they think of me, they think of God. There's that there Christian guy. That's okay. I'm going to keep praying for him. I want all my loved ones in heaven.
Yes.
With every head bowed, I just want to do this just to be safe. Did anybody walk in, even if you've been here? Jesus said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. Is there someone in here who says, Pastor, I've claimed to be a Christian, but I need to repent. I need to give my life totally to you, Lord. Just raise up your hand and say, I need to repent of sin. I need to repent of it. God sees those hands. My hand's up here with you. God sees those hands. Now, is there anyone in here who says, Pastor, I've never given my life to Jesus, and I want to do that today. I want to live with Him for eternity, and I don't want my life destroyed. I want to live for Him. I want to be like Jesus. Is there anybody? Just raise up your hand. He's a loving Heavenly Father. This is the greatest place in the world to be right now, is in this church. You say, well, it can't be that great. It's not full. That's okay. God doesn't look at numbers. He never did. Jesus was a one-on-one. Is there anybody? Now, you with your hands that had them up in the air as Christians and saying, I need to repent of areas of my life. Maybe you become critical. Maybe you've got a critical spirit, a complaining spirit that needs to be dealt with. The Holy Spirit can help us. You that had your hands, I'm going to ask you to do it one more time. So just to put them way up in there and say, I want to be prayed for right now because there's areas that I need to get under the blood. And I know it. Heavenly Father, you see all these hands this morning. Lord, you know that we're leaky vessels and we fall into this corrupt old world sometimes that's fallen and all the stuff around us and even the anger and the hatred that we see in our country and around the world today can have an effect on us. It can get us moody and bad-tempered and we can be nasty to people and even our loved ones. Lord, help me through the power of your Holy Spirit. I ask you to forgive me right now in Jesus' name. I ask that the blood of Jesus wash over me, wash my sins away. Wash them, Lord. I ask for forgiveness. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. I want to be on fire for you, Jesus. Help me right now. From this point on, Lord, convict my heart to be a mighty man or a mighty woman of God. And Lord, I thank you for warning us in the Bible how sin has destroyed so many human beings, all the way from Genesis, Adam, our first man, Adam. Sin came into the world, and then you sent Jesus. Salvation came into the world by one man, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We receive him. We thank you for him, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for convicting us, Lord, from this day forth. Lord, as the world gets darker and darker, and you said it would, you told us to come together to fellowship, to encourage one another. Help us to be encouragers, Father, when we come together. Encourage one Tell someone, Lord, we tell them, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord help you. May the Lord heal you. May the Lord deliver you and give you comfort and joy and peace. Lord, help us to be men and women so light. We're the light and the salt. Help us to be so bright. And we're going to get brighter, Lord, as the world gets darker. Help us to be salt in this world.
Yes, Lord.
Help us to be salt and light when we walk into a grocery store. Help us to be light and salt when we walk into a restaurant. Help us to be light and salt when we go to our jobs. But Lord, help us to be light and salt in our own homes. And with our families. And we thank you and we praise you, Father. And I now ask, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, that you touch every home, bless him financially and spiritually and mentally and emotionally and physically in every area, domestically, Lord, every area, Lord, that we can glorify you. For as we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, all these things will be added on. And so we love you, Lord. We praise you and we glorify you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Does anybody get anything you want to